Thank you for being here for this ceremony that honors the life and the witness of Laverne Conway. We're going to be sharing in just a moment. Pastor Mark DeMoss is going to be sharing her pastor. I'll be preaching in a moment. A couple of her favorite songs are going to be played for our attention. But let me just say to you that one thing that I've noticed is I'm glad you're here. Crowd is not large. She's outlived so many of her contemporaries. But the size of the crowd does not indicate the importance of the individual and her ministry. Thank you for coming. Know this, that the Word of God is going to be shared, and the promises of God are true, and that God is faithful. Let's pray together. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for the way you speak to us. Thank you that in quiet moments and in serious moments and in times of joy, you speak about your love and your care. And I give you praise today for the memory of Laverne Conway. I can still see her sitting at her position, taking records of preschoolers and loving children and loving families. And I want to thank you for that testimony that has, through the years, been given by her life. And thank you for the influence that she's had on me and upon others. Bless in this service, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
And the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses, and He walks with me and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever. The sound of His voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing, and the melody that He gave to me within my heart is tells me I am His own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever.
Share with you for just a few moments. I've had the privilege of being Laverne's pastor for the last 5 years. Brother Jim, who's with us today, was her pastor for over 30 years, and through those years has had the opportunity and privilege to minister to this family and to her through a lot of joys and a lot of trials. And there is a great deal of blessing in that. So we're blessed to have you with us today, Brother Jim, and this family's blessed to have you shepherd them through another journey of their life. And I'm privileged to be here also today. We're here today to celebrate the homegoing of Laverne Conway, and it is a homegoing. Bible tells us when we place our trust in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins that we are no longer citizens of this earth. We have a new home. We're kingdom citizens of the kingdom of God. We're heavenly citizens. And since Laverne was about 12 years old when she placed trust in Christ, she has been walking this earth as a stranger and an alien. That's the way the Bible describes it. Heaven was her home, and now she's there. She's been on that journey since those days. And we just want to remember that and celebrate that today. While there is sorrow over the temporary absence that we feel in our relationship with her, there's joy because we know that she's well and she's in the presence of the Lord. I want to share with you just some basic information that the family put together about Laverne's life, and then a few other memories, some scripture and prayer. At times of funerals, we come together and we read statements and facts about a person's life, usually a few short sentences that include the date that someone was born and the date someone passed from this life. But we remember today that it's not those 2 days that are the most significant. It's the days that have been in between. And Laverne had a long in-between period and a rich in-between period. And it's that what we want to remember today. Laverne Conway, 90, went to be with her Lord on October 3rd, 2011. She was born in Bridgeport, Texas. In 1938, she married her beloved husband, Elmer. They shared 54 years together before his death in 1993. Laverne was a member of Capitol Hill Baptist Church since 1961. She was a beloved mother and grandmother and will be greatly missed. Laverne is survived by her children, Carol and her husband, Doug Carpenter, Daryl and his wife, Rita Conway, Sandy and her husband, Mike Brown. She is survived by her sisters, Laura Droz and Margaret Thompson, by 8 grandchildren, Michael, Melissa, Kathy, Candace, Nicole, Sean, Leslie, and Brad, 17 great-grandchildren, 13 great-great-grandchildren. What a heritage, what a legacy. Laverne grew up the daughter of a Baptist minister, and her life has reflected, I think, her upbringing. As I said earlier, she put her faith and trust in Christ when she was about 12 years of old. As we were sharing together with the family this week, it was whispered in my ear by Carol that she was baptized in a horse tank. And some from her day were, for sure, and in rivers and streams and lakes. But that's where she was baptized and began, again, that journey following the Lord, just doing what her parents raised her to do, really, but now with a faith all her own. Laverne married Elmer on Christmas Day, 1938, and that was done because he was told he was going to spend Christmas with his family, and he wanted to spend Christmas with Laverne and her family. And so they married and made sure that they could spend Christmas together. And when your dad is a Baptist minister, you can get married kind of when you're ready to. Everything's there and ready. So they did that. Family remembers that story with a lot of fondness. Laverne, as I got to know her just 5 years ago, was always in her place at church, right by the preschool area, checking in. Children and families, as they came to Sunday school, taking the records for the Sunday school teachers, taking roll, making sure the children and the teachers were counted present, the ones that were there, and loving that, just relishing in that, and had been doing that at that point for 45 years. What a ministry of faithfulness. At her age, and I know many Sundays visiting with her, she wasn't feeling that well. But she was there. She was going to be in her spot and do her job because it was right. And that's what she wanted to do. And she loved it and treasured it. And I just think, what a testimony to all of those families that passed by her for 50 years, be faithful. And that really describes a lot of Laverne. She was quiet, but quietness does not negate passion. Laverne had a passion for her family that came out in so many ways, a passion for her church that was just evidence in her faithfulness of being present, a passion for her Lord. She wasn't there because the church needed her. She was there because the Lord gave her a job in her church, and she wanted to do it. She was being faithful and representing that. And that is a passion, and that shows up there. She knew how to make everybody feel special. The children that she ministered to on Sundays, the workers that she worked with that are her friends, and many of them present today, her children, her grandchildren, she knew the little ways to make them feel special. Whether it's the baking of pecan pies or playing games together with the children and grandchildren, when there were other things to do, setting that aside and sitting down, let's spend time together. And as the family grew and there were more grandchildren added and more busyness of life and everybody seemed to be going their own direction, there was a constant. And as you listen to the family share, you understood that the constant was Laverne in that home. That home became a constant. That was a place you could be, and that was a place you could count on things kind of being the same. And I think it was one of the grandsons that said, if there's anybody that could herd cats, it was Laverne. As they began to drift all in their own directions, she was the constant that kind of could keep everybody back together in all of those times. They're going to remember well the pecan pies, as I mentioned, grown, baked from the pecans growing in her own yard. Peach preserves that came also from the tree in her own yard. But they're going to remember the times together, holidays, baking sugar cookies, stamping out the shapes, decorating, sharing those together, sharing the baking times together. Those are the memories that are going to be rich. Isn't God good to give us so many wonderful blessings? Memory is one of those blessings. To remember the things of our loved ones is a blessing from God. That's a rich thing. That's something that Christians drift to when a loved one dies. We drift to the things that God has given us to bring us comfort. One of those is memory. The other is God's Word. I want to share some verses of Scripture that have been meaningful to this family over the last few days and to friends of hers as well. And Christians go to God's Word. When we need encouragement and we need comfort, Christians go to God's Word. That's where Laverne would have gone. That's where we go today. Ecclesiastes is one of those places that Christians often go to on days like today. But there's some special meaning in these verses as they've been shared by friends and family together. Let me read a part of two chapters in Ecclesiastes, and then I want to go to the Psalms and read another verse there. And I'll pray for us. The writer of Ecclesiastes wrote this: "There's an appointed time for everything, and there's a time for every event under heaven, a time to give birth and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to throw stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to shun embracing, a time to search and a time to give up as lost, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear apart and a time to sew together, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. What profit is there to the worker from that in which he toils? I have seen the task which God has given the sons of men with which to occupy themselves. He has made everything appropriate in its time. He has also set eternity in their heart. Yet so that man will not find out the work which God has done from the beginning even to the end." And over in chapter 7, Ecclesiastes continues saying this: "A good name is better than a good ointment, and the day of one's death is better than the day of one's birth. It is better to go to a house of mourning than to go to a house of feasting, because that is the end of every man, and the living takes it to heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, for when a face is sad, a heart may be happy. The mind of the wise is in the house of mourning, while the mind of fools is in the house of pleasure. It is better to listen to the rebuke of a wise man than for one to listen to the song of fools. For as the crackling of thorn bushes under a pot, so is the laughter of the fool, and this too is futility. For oppression makes a wise man mad, and a bribe corrupts the heart. The end of a matter is better than its beginning. Patience of spirit is better than haughtiness of spirit. The psalmist wrote this: Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Pray with me. Father, we thank you for Laverne Conway. The faithfulness exhibited by her life, the love of her children, her church, her family, her friends, many, many children, and many, many families to whom she ministered, love for Christ. Lord, we endeavor today to remember her, remember her well. There are so many things that we can look at her life and find an example and say that is a direction we should go. But I know Laverne would say this. She would say, don't look to me. Look to the one to whom I've patterned my life after. Look to my Savior. Look to Christ. It's by his side where she sits today. Praise you, Father. We glory in your Son. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, he who died, heaven's gate to open wide. He will wash away my sin, let his little child come in. Jesus loves me, will stay close beside me all the way. He's prepared a home for me, and someday his face I'll see. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
Every one of us love that children's hymn. It speaks to us. Probably the first song that children in Sunday school learn is that song, Jesus Loves Me. I remember Billy Graham having spoken to years ago to Karl Barth when Billy was in Germany crusade. He always met with individuals who were prominent to try to learn some things, because Billy felt like that he had been somewhat deprived because he had never gone to seminary. I don't think Billy was deprived of much of anything, but that's the way he felt. And he would meet with people, theologians, others, and Karl Barth was a man who had helped turn the Confessing Church of Germany back toward the Lord during the Hitler regime. And he met with Karl Barth, and he asked him this question: what is the most important theological thought you've ever come across? And Karl Barth, who'd written volumes, theological volumes, said, "The most important thought I've ever had theologically is this: Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so." I think of Laverne, one of her favorite verses was a verse that is a favorite to us, John 3:16. And I've chosen today just to spend a little while talking to you about John 3:16. An amplified version of it, it's not in the Amplified Bible because I've given more than the Amplified has given, but the Amplified version of mine says, "For God so dearly loved and greatly prized the world, this cosmos, this people, that he gave up to death his only begotten Son, the only one of a kind, that whoever would believe in him or trust in him or adhere to him or rely upon him would not perish or be cast away from God eternally, but have as a possession everlasting life." That's John 3:16. It's the heart of the New Testament. I think about it, and I think about that in terms of this service. The Bible says God so loved the world. It didn't mean necessarily this universe, though God does love the universe, and it's going to be transformed one day when he comes again. It didn't mean God loves the present world system, because he does not. It's against the Lord. But it meant the people. God so loved the world, you and I and around the world, 7 billion of us, God so loved that he gave. He loved in a general revelation. Everybody has a revelation of God to some degree. Nature talks about it. I mean, you can't be saved by looking at nature, but you can know something about God from nature. And the Bible says people are without excuse. Now, you think about the stars and so forth. Scientists tell us that the universe is expanding. I don't know that it is. They suggest it is. But I wonder if it's possible that those stars and those planets were created years ago, and the light traveling 186,000 miles a second has been traveling for centuries and just finally got to us. I don't know. But you think about the world that is, and then you think about a drop of water on a test tube. You remember when you were in biology class or science class and you looked down at that drop of water that you had drunk from the city? Do you remember that? I made a vow I'd not drink water ever again. That's why I became a Dr. Pepper fan at that time. But you think about the general revelation, and then God, in a special revelation, revealed himself to mankind. The Bible teaches us that that's exactly what happened. Francis Schaeffer said that we are the God-visited planet. Say what you will about other worlds and this sort of thing. I don't know. But Francis Schaeffer said we are the God-visited planet. God chose to come in the person of Jesus Christ to this earth. And I think about Laverne. She was raised a country girl in Bridgeport, Texas. Her daddy was a preacher, did a lot of traveling preaching. Sometimes he pastored churches as well. But she may have been saved when she heard him preach. She certainly understood the gospel when she heard him preach. I don't know if she was saved at home, in a revival meeting, under his dad's preaching, or her dad's preaching, or simply by herself. But something happened in her heart, as happened to you, I trust, when she was about 11 years of age, or 12. She invited Jesus into her life. And it has impacted this family and us who are gathered here and so many others through the years because she invited Jesus to become her Lord of her life. About 50 years, because she served also at a church in Midwest City working with preschoolers, about 50 years of her life were spent in ministry to little urchins, kids, snotty-nosed kids and kids with bump knees and kids that were rebellious and kids that you just wanted to hug. 50 years of service, impacting their lives for God and for good. She was committed to God and to her family and to her church. She knew the Lord. But the Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave up to death his only begotten son. You know, the content of that particular giving is the cross. It wasn't just physical that Jesus suffered. It is true that he suffered physically. The Bible reminds us of the book of Isaiah chapter 52 that his visage was marred more than any man and his form more than the sons of man. And somebody has suggested that Jesus on the cross with his body riddled by the stripes that were there looked more like a piece of raw hamburger meat than a man. He was wounded. Isaiah 53 reminds us that he was bruised. Literally, the word in the Hebrew is he was crushed for our iniquities. But it wasn't the physical pain that was there. Jesus suffered spiritually. The Bible says he became sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. He became sin. And God judged Jesus in his body as though he were sin. Read Psalm 22 sometime, or listen spiritually in your mind to Jesus as he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because for the first time since eternity past until that moment, Jesus the Son, God the Son, had never experienced separation from God the Father and God the Spirit. Now certainly God was hovering over that moment, but Jesus experienced the separation, our hell, our sin, our death that we should have endured on the cross. That's why in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus prayed, Father, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but as you will. Used to have a member of our church that rode around with the word on the bumper sticker, nevertheless, because he was thinking about Jesus in his sacrifice that he made for us. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believes in him, trusts in him, adhere to him, or relies upon him, should not perish or be cast away from God eternally. Jesus spoke more about hell than he did about heaven, but the truth is there is a place to be warned against, a condition, a life, a rebellion that is to be warned against. And the Bible then says, he desired that you not perish, but have as a possession everlasting life, life that doesn't end. I don't apologize for the fact that I believe in the perseverance of the saints or security of the believer, because the Bible teaches it. That if you know the Lord, if you know the Lord, if you've received Jesus, from the time of your receiving Christ until the time you go to heaven, you can be sure that you're going to heaven as though it had already happened. Security in the Lord Jesus. Jesus said in John 5:24, verily I say unto you, he that hears my word and believes on him that sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life. And what in the world does John 10:27 mean when it says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me and I give to them eternal life and they shall never perish? That's the Lord speaking. John 3:16 reminds us of that wonderful truth that is there. I'll share a personal story. I got to preach in prisons once in a while, and several months ago, maybe 4 months ago, we were at the county jail in Poteau, Oklahoma. We were there to speak to the men, but the men were in lockdown, and so we had to speak, quote-unquote, had to speak to the women. They were in the women's pod, and there were eight women that we spoke to. One was in lockdown. She was a Jewish lady who could only visit, participate in the service by looking through that hole where they provide the food. And she was there listening. A friend of mine, David Dumbleton, did the singing. David did a marvelous job of leading individuals to think about the Lord. And then I did some sharing. And in that service, there were four of the ladies who gave their heart to Jesus. And one of the ladies, when it was over, said to the chaplain, can you speak to my husband? And he said, well, where is he? He said, well, he's in prison. He said, well, where's he in prison? No, he's in jail. What jail is it? He's in this jail. They both in jail the same day. And she said, the chaplain looked over the list and said, well, yesterday we had a special service. We weren't supposed to have it, but we had a special service. And there are three men who were saved. And he went down the list and he mentioned the names, and the third name was her husband's name. She said, that's him. Would you go, please, and tell him that he has a new wife? And we went and shared the fact that he had a new wife, and he was rejoicing that she had a new husband as well. But that's what John 3:16 is all about. I don't know that Laverne ever shared with anybody four spiritual laws. I don't know that she ever shared EE or continued witness training or the faith approach. I don't know that she did or didn't. I don't know that. But I know that consistently she taught the Bible, and I know that consistently she lived for the Lord, and I know that consistently those children were introduced for the first time to the Lord. And the other day, Laverne breathed her last and went to be with the Lord, and it reminds me so much of that time when that missionary came back to New York Harbor and Teddy Roosevelt was on the same ship and everybody was greeting Teddy Roosevelt. And the missionary had nobody to greet him. And bummed because of the whole experience, he went to the hotel and complained to God that he didn't have anybody there to welcome home. And he said as he was there, God spoke to him. And God said, don't be disappointed. This is not your welcome home. The other day, Laverne received her welcome home. She's with the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And we rejoice in the fact that one of these days, we'll see her again. Would you pray with me, please? Father, thank you that you love us. We think of all our rottenness, and we think of all the times that we fail you, and you love us in spite of that. Thank you for loving us, and thank you for loving Laverne, and thank you for loving us through her. I pray you bless the family. We thank you for the privilege of remembering her, and today remembering what you've done as well. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.